Welcome to the small batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Stephen Thompson from NPR Music, and I am here in the studio with Glenn Weldon, who writes about all sorts of pop culture for NPR. Hello, Glenn.
Hey, Stephen.
Now, full disclosure, our usual host, Linda Holmes, is not here. She is filing for NPR's newscast and All Things Considered. We are recording this on Tuesday morning, and mere moments ago, after months of speculation, we got word of this year's Academy Awards nominations. Now, to start with Best Picture, in any given year, they might nominate anywhere from 5 to 10 movies, and this year we have 9. They are, in alphabetical order, Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. Glenn, what stood out for you? Any surprises?
From that list, or just in general, because, I mean, La La Land raked up 14 nominations, yeah, tying a record held by All About Eve and Titanic. And if you love La La Land and were worried about the growing backlash, you could look at that and see either your worries cemented or vindicated, because it either means that it still has momentum,
right,
or it means we still got 33 days of all the people who are naysayers of La La Land to kind of have the backlash grow and grow and
sure,
grow. So there's no way to really tell which way it's going. I love Moonlight. I hope it beats it. But the thing that I like seeing on that list was Hell or High Water.
Yeah, I was delighted by that. I was certainly delighted by the strength of Arrival,
yeah,
which is one of my favorite movies of the year. It got 9 nominations, although in what I would call the biggest surprise of the morning, Amy Adams did not get nominated for her lead performance.
Right.
I found bizarre, but at the same time, this is the time of year where I rage against the very concept of snubs.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that like somebody was deliberately left off when in fact it's usually because people liked something else too,
right,
and there are only 5 slots. But that one, I thought that one was a surprise and a little bit of a shame. So for the last 2 years, the Oscars have been deluged with criticism for the whiteness of its acting nominations. If you take the 20 available acting nominations, your best actress and supporting actress, your best actor and supporting actor, they have been 20 for 20 nominating white performers for the last 2 Oscars. This year, not so much. We've got 7 people of color in those 20 slots. You've got Denzel Washington for Fences, Mahershala Ali for Moonlight, Dev Patel for Lion, Viola Davis for Fences, Naomi Harris for Moonlight, Ruth Negga for Loving, and Octavia Spencer for her work in Hidden Figures.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 out of 20 Oscars, not as white as usual.
Slightly less white.
And also, it should be noted, you've got Barry Jenkins nominated for Best Director for Moonlight. You've got Barry Jenkins and Terrell Alvin McCraney nominated for their screenwriting work in Moonlight, August Wilson for Fences.
And if you look at the actress and supporting role category, you've got Viola Davis, Naomi Harris, and Octavia Spencer. 3 out of the 5 are women of color. Also in that category, 4 out of the 5 are nominated for some very limited screen time. And
yeah,
as we know, the Oscars don't care about the amount of your screen time. It's the emotional weight you have when you're in it. So that's why somebody like Michelle Williams is probably in this category. But in terms of the emotional weight of the role, I think Viola Davis has the most, if you have any kind of metric we can apply here. Viola Davis's supporting role in Fences has a lot more power to it than some of the others.
Yeah, I love that performance. But it is definitely, there was some discussion and debate leading up to these awards. She submitted for supporting actress, but could easily have been nominated for lead actress. Among other surprises, I mean, I don't know that Finding Dory getting left off of animated feature qualifies as a huge surprise. But if you look at animated feature, you've got Kubo and the Two Strings, which I know you love, Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Moana, My Life as a Zucchini, The Red Turtle, and Zootopia,
right,
which did quite well at the box office,
yeah,
earlier this year, and I think would have to be considered something of a frontrunner.
Absolutely. And, you talked about Amy Adams not being on the Best Actress list. I miss Annette Bening because I like,
yeah,
20th Century Women. It did show up on the original screenplay writing category, which I am very happy with. I'm also very happy that a film I loved called The Lobster.
Yeah.
There. So I pay more attention to the screenplay stuff than a lot of the other things. And this is a really, really strong original screenplay year. Hell or High Water, La La Land, The Lobster, Manchester by the Sea, and 20th Century Women.
Yeah, screenplay, that is the Glenn Weldon category.
Yeah.
To just roll through the rest of your major categories for Best Actor, you've got Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea, Andrew Garfield for Hacksaw Ridge, which was heavily nominated. Mel Gibson was also nominated for Best Director. Ryan Gosling for La La Land. Viggo Mortensen for Captain Fantastic.
Kind of came out of nowhere.
Which I think a lot of people saw coming, but is still somewhat of a surprise. Came out a little earlier in the year. Denzel Washington for Fences. Best Actress, Isabelle Huppert for for Elle, which as soon as they said her name, I was like, where's Amy Adams? Because they do him in alphabetical order. Ruth Negga for Loving, Natalie Portman for Jackie, which also got nominated for that very unusual score by Mika Levy for Mikachu and the Shapes. Emma Stone for La La Land, Meryl Streep for Florence Foster Jenkins. I was a little surprised in the way that the original song category broke out. I always follow this category very closely. This year, I was surprised to see two songs from La La Land nominated. It's been a little while since you had multiple songs from the same movie nominated. From La La Land, you saw Audition, parentheses, The Fools Who Dream, a very, very memorable song from that movie, and City of Stars, which won the Golden Globe for Best Song. Both of those could be canceling each other out for votes, leaving an opening for one of the other three. You have The Empty Chair from Jim, the James Foley Story, music and lyric by J. Ralph and Sting. And then you have two very high-profile songs in the form of Can't Stop the Feeling from Trolls by Justin Timberlake and How Far I'll Go by Lin-Manuel Miranda from Moana, thus setting up the possibility for Lin-Manuel Miranda to finally put the O in EGOT. So we will see if that happens. We will touch on documentaries on next week's episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour, and we will have a full roundup right before the ceremony, which takes place on Sunday, February 26th. Full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday morning at npr.org/podcasts through NPR One or wherever else you get your podcasts. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.